Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to Where To Go. I'm James Atkinson, Senior Brand Manager at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, Senior Editor at DK Eyewitness.
And welcome to Where To Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. Lucy, I really hope we actually live up to that.
I know.
That line in this episode. So I can only apologise, listener, for what you're about to hear.
It is pretty self-indulgent what we're about to do.
It is a little bit self-indulgent. It's true, but how many episodes of the podcast have we done now? I think we're coming up to 70-ish, like that. So maybe we're allowed a bit of self-indulgence. But as you will have heard, separately, me and Lucy are both going to be leaving the podcast for a little bit of time to welcome our new families, I guess.
Yes.
And so it's a very exciting time. And producer Julia has really indulged us in letting us have an episode where we talk about all things London, because Lucy, this is the last episode we're recording together for quite some time.
It's really strange. It's really, really strange and lovely, I have to say, actually. For a final episode, thank you, Julia, for indulging us and saying, yes, you could do this. But it's really odd because, you know, this has been with 3 years we've been doing this.
3 years. And like the amount of episodes we've put out, I mean, I'm absolutely shocked by the listenership numbers. I'll be honest with you,
listener. Yeah, I know.
But the way we've kind of kept it going, but the amazing, amazing people we've spoken to, the amazing places we've gone.
Yeah.
I think it's a true testament to kind of how wide the DK net spreads, and yeah, just like kind of how much there is to discuss about travel. It's been fascinating. So
yeah.
You might not get the world's foremost expert voices here. I mean, I'm talking mainly for myself.
No.
Not Lucy, in terms of those are the people who know those places best. But I think, Lucy, we do know London fairly well.
How
long have you lived in London?
So in March 2024, it will be 10 years I've lived in London. So it was about 9 years, just under 9 years in East London. So to be honest, I mainly know East London, which you might be hearing a fair amount of in my quickfire round. And then a year ago, I moved to Southeast London, not far from you, actually, James.
Yes. And this is why our children are being delivered at the same hospital.
Yes.
In a really weird tryst of fate, like a couple of weeks apart. We're still getting over it, listener, I think. but I moved down in 2009, so quite a long time ago now.
A long time,
over 14 years ago. So shortly after university. I'm from the north of England, so from Middlesbrough, and had kind of gone back there for a few months. And then Beth, who is now my wife, is a Londoner born and bred, was never ever going to leave. So it ended up being
here
that I came down here.
Yeah.
And the rest is kind of history. But yeah, I've lived in a few different places. I always had family living in Southwest London, in Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. I originally lived in Brockley in Southeast London.
Lovely.
Then made my way up east to sort of Old Street and Bethnal Green, and lived that way for quite a few years, and then came back down to South London and lived in Borough for quite a while, and now I'm in Southeast London like you. So I know quite a few places apart from the Northwest.
I know.
Sorry.
I have to say, Yeah, I sort of, I feel like actually generally speaking, East London, I just know, like north the river east, south the river east, I actually feel quite comfortable with, but generally west, I include southwest London in that. Like the likes of Clapham and Ballon are very well-trodden areas that I don't feel like I know at all. And north London and northwest and west London, I'm not an expert. So there's a definite south-east and east bias in my quickfire round.
But that's maybe okay, because actually lots of central London gets talked about a lot. I'm trying to make ourselves feel better. I'm really sorry what northwest London is. Tell us your favourite recommendations.
Yes,
find
please.
Us on social media. And
we're going to have a lot of free time. Send us to places to explore.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tell us where we're missing. So the format of today is a little bit different. We are going to basically do a sort of prolonged quickfire round. So to be honest, we have so many different recommendations. It was always going to be this way. I think we could try and make a stab at a very short quickfire round, but I think we'd fail miserably, Lucy. So let's break the rules.
Let's
do a really long quickfire round.
It's our last one.
It's our last one together. Let's give listeners a taste of our London and why we love it, why we like it.
Let's do it.
So we are going to kick off with your favourite view of London.
So my favourite view, it's not my favourite park, but my favourite view is in Greenwich Park. So it's up by the observatory, so you have to kind of schlep up that hill, and it is pretty steep. And
it's very much a schlep.
It's a real schlep. But then you can sit on the grass outside Greenwich Observatory, and you've got sort of like Greenwich Park all tumbling down below you. And then you can see the old Naval College and Queen's House. And you're on a bend in the Thames. You've got like a really lovely angle of the Thames. And then on the other side of the water, you've got Canary Wharf. So you've got kind of the new and the old. And Greenwich Park is always just, you know, Londoners really do love their parks. So Greenwich Park's always just so busy with picnickers and dog walkers and families. And if you've done that schlep, you can go to Gales in Greenwich and get yourself a sausage roll and some cakes and then walk up that hill and then enjoy a like an alfresco picnic with lovely views.
Yep.
That's my favourite view.
It's a great one. I mean, I think Greenwich Park really kind of has a bit of everything. It's got history. It's got kind of, it's got the riverside views, and it's got a ginormous hill to schlep up as well.
Yeah, it's a big hill, but it's worth it. It's worth it for the view. James, your favourite view.
Okay, right. It's a similar part of the world, actually. And it's, I was quite inspired, actually, by Dane in our Thailand episode the other week, where he said, like, his favourite view can be from the ground up, in a way. It doesn't have to be high. And, you know, I kind of love running. I kind of rediscovered my love of running in lockdown and have pounded the pavements in around London for the last couple of years. But one of my favorite sort of running routes that I've kind of found, and particularly this year actually, is running the quieter bit of the Thames path that runs between Woolwich and Greenwich. So it actually ends in Greenwich as well. So you can schlep up the
very
hill afterwards
scenic.
If you want to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, it's you can run down there, you can walk down there, you can cycle down there, etc. There's not too much to see in Woolwich, but when you get onto it, it's completely silent, and you will see some of the kind of lesser known lovely bits of the Thames. So you'll see the enormous Thames barrier, you'll see the planes coming into London City Airport.
Yeah,
you'll sort of start to like meander through building sites, and like there's a few random pubs like dotted along there, and then suddenly you're out in sort of going towards Canary Wharf, going towards the cable cars.
Yes.
And you know, you can do it, and I've ran it a couple of times now where you don't see a single soul for quite a while. It's really peaceful. There's no noise. And it's just a way of like kind of seeing some of the amazing heritage that London has in just a really, really lovely, quiet way. And I mean, you kind of forget that the Thames is actually quite a stunning, massive river.
Yes, it
sometimes.
Really is. Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of mine. And I think, so I've kind of cheated. It's several views. It's a moving
you're
view.
You're already breaking your own rules, James.
I know. Already going on to... So it's multiple things, but no, it's that's like one of my favorite bits of London, and yeah, to end it in Greenwich as well, and then have all of the kind of museums and culture in Greenwich and
cafes.
Yeah, absolutely, there's lots of rewards there. There's some great like kind of pubs in Greenwich as well, like you can
totally
just sit and have a pint on the river to finish up. So yeah, sorry if that's a bit of a cheat. I'm really feeling guilty to all the guests we've put through this before. So are you ready this, I think, is always the trickiest one, Lucy. I know it's going to be for you, your favourite thing to eat.
Yeah, this one's really, really hard. And I do have a list, which I'm not going to go through, but I think what I've really struggled with is the fact that we are so spoiled in London and we have every kind of cuisine type. If you want Vietnamese food within 30 minutes, wherever you are in London, you could probably get it.
Yep.
Same for Italian, same for Ethiopian. And I could tell you where to go for the best cacio e pepe or the best ramen, but I was thinking about it and I was like, actually, if someone's coming to London or if it's the weekend, I think what I really love to eat is a roast, a Sunday roast.
Yes, okay.
And, you know, we're recording this sort of on the cusp of autumn.
Yeah.
But I would say that Hampstead is the place to go. Again, after a ramble on Hampstead Heath, mm-hmm. and then to kind of hole up in a really cosy pub and have a proper roast lunch, maybe with a roaring fire. That for me is the best way to spend a Sunday. And again, there are loads of pubs in Hampstead that do great roasts, but I'd say Spaniards Inn and the Holly Bush. I know both of those do excellent roasts. I could honestly list 10 more sort of dishes or experiences, but it's like the most wonderfully British thing to do. And honestly, London does some great roasts, but I think Hampstead is the place to have a roast.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about Spaniards Inn. Hampstead is one of the areas of London I've not explored to the fullest yet, and I need to get up there at some point.
It's like I think it's how a lot of sort of people envisage London, like that kind of Love Actually sort of London, that cozy, beautiful, ultimately very moneyed London. But it's really, really charming. The Heath is amazing. Hampstead Heath is just, you know, vast. And yeah, thankfully there are some just really great cozy pubs, and this is the time of year to be going to these pubs to have a lovely roast lunch. Anyway, James, tell me your favorite thing to eat.
Ah, this is so hard. As you know, my wife is a chef.
Yes, I did think this. I was like, God, James is going to find this impossible.
I mean, thankfully, she doesn't work in restaurants anymore, so I don't have to choose one of her restaurants. I don't feel obliged. Okay, I went through loads and loads and loads of things. I have too many notes written down here about where the best curry is, etc. Maybe that's for another time.
Yeah.
But I went massively with my sweet tooth, actually. And so lots of people will have heard of St. John's.
Yes.
You know, there's quite a few through London. There's one sort of like in the old meat market near Farringdon, and then there's Smithfield Market, that's the name of it. And there's one in Spitalfields too. But what a lot of people don't know is that St. John's have incredible bakeries, and you can actually get St. John's sourdough and bread in loads of like independent delis across London. So Good Food over the road from me in Catford has it at weekends. There's a St. John's bakery just near Maltby Street Market where you can get bread, get sweet treats, etc. from. But they also opened a tiny, tiny bakery shop on what's called Borough Corner, so opposite Borough Tube Station. It's very near where I used to live.
Yes.
They horribly opened it like a year before I moved out of that area. So I only had one sweet year of enjoying this. But they do incredible sandwiches, like big doorsteppy sandwiches, like amazing egg sandwiches, some of the best in London. See, I'm sneaking loads of extra things into my answer. This is
very sneaky. Yeah, yes,
absolutely. But the thing I wanted to talk about is the donuts. The donuts are just some of the best things I've ever eaten. In particular, the custard donut, the vanilla custard donut, just magically sort of like creamy. If you've gone for like a big walk, if you've done the Thames path, if you're kind of like, you know, I think London Bridge is a great sort of meeting point across London because it's right in the middle. You can go off and do loads of activities and then walk back towards that area. It's just the perfect tonic for like the end of an afternoon. Yeah,
James, you're saying this to a pregnant lady. Honestly, I would smash that donut right now. I really, really would.
I'm not pregnant. I would smash that donut right now. Hello, Where To Go listeners, it's James here. It's coming up to Christmas, and what greater gift could there possibly be than the promise of future adventures? So we've teamed up with our friends at WH Smith for a very special offer. Until the 7th of January, you can get 20% off any DK Eyewitness travel guide, including all of our Eyewitness, Top 10 and Like A Local guides. To claim your discount online, simply go to whsmith.co.uk, choose your book and enter the code EYEWITNESS20. And in any high street store, visit the link in our episode bio and show the QR code at the checkout. Offer excludes delivery costs, excludes stores at airports, airports, railway stations, motorway service stations, hospitals, garden centres and workplaces, and books by W.H. Smith at Selfridges, Harrods, Phoenix and Arnott's. Full T's and C's available at whsmith.co.uk/terms. So, on to favourite thing to drink.
Yes.
What are you going for, Luz?
Well, I am going to be cheeky here. I'm going to give a shout out to... London has so many great cocktail bars. I think there are about five on the current 50 best bars in the world.
Yep.
Five of them are in London. But I want to give a shout out to Coupette in Bethnal Green. It's like a Diagon Alley kind of, you know, blinking, you'd miss it type cocktail bar. And they do a champagne pina colada that is just the most delicious thing. Google it, listeners. There are articles on it. It's worth the hype. But... more generally, sort of returning to the Thames, I really do feel like the Thames is kind of the beating heart of London. And yep. I have to say, I think my sort of year-round, my drink of choice would be, which obviously I can't have either of these drinks right now, but my drink of choice is like a cold pint of cider, ideally in Wapping, in a beer garden, at like Captain Kidd or the Prospect of Whitby.
Yep. Two great pubs.
Which is, especially the Prospect of Whitby, which is on the site of the city's oldest tavern, and it's really eerie, like used to be an execution site, and pirates used to drink there, but with like a really cold pint and the Thames like sloshing up against the pub wall, it is, you sort of feel like you're on a ship in either of those pubs, actually. It's just unbeatable. Listeners, go to Wapping. Do a pub crawl in Wapping, but definitely go to the Captain Kidd and the Prospect of Whitby and have a lovely beer, but I suggest a nice cider. James, your favourite thing to drink?
I have to go for beer here. And yeah, I think it's great that you shouted out to the cocktail side of London as well, because London has an amazing spirit scene at the minute and there's loads going on. But I think since I've lived in London, I actually moved to London from York, and York has an amazing beer scene. It's loads of local breweries. It's one of those, there's loads of places in the UK that claims like the most pubs per person in the UK. York, I think, has like quite a good shout at it. When I moved down to London, I was a little bit disappointed. There wasn't like kind of as many sort of like craft beers or independent beers or anything interesting going on. That has massively changed in the sort of 14 years I've been down here. There is just tons and tons of local breweries, too many almost to mention, but the one, and it's pretty famous, I just want to give a shout out to, because I don't think you can find it in too many places other than London, is Colonel.
Yes.
Their brewery's near London Bridge. It's kind of on the Bermondsey Beer Mile.
Yeah.
And what I really like about their beer, and this is as I get older,
I know what you're going to say,
is that they have some weaker beers that are absolutely delicious. So their table beer, they make each batch like individually, and it can range between about 2.7% and 3.5%, but it's perfectly sessionable. You can get a real buzz from it, but it's not going to kill you the next day necessarily.
Well, you're going to need that, you know, when you're a dad.
Absolutely. Well. Yes, exactly. So that's what I'm hoping for. So Colonel's a great shout, but I'd say, and this is in like a local London, the Bermondsey Beer Mile, it's getting a bit over touristed, but with a really good reason.
Yeah.
There's some just amazing breweries to explore there. Keep going, push down the line, you'll find some great ones.
But top tip, Walthamstow's got a beer mile that it's growing, so if Bermondsey's too busy for you folks, go to Walthamstow.
Yeah, Wildcard in Walthamstow is a great one. That's a really good shout.
There we go.
Okay, cool. So museum or gallery, Lucy?
Maybe it's obvious and it's one of the big ones, but the V&A hands down is my favorite museum. It's all about decorative arts and design, and genuinely I could spend days wandering its sculpture galleries and fashion displays. But the reason I think I love the V&A is because they do the best exhibitions, like temporary exhibitions, covering everything from Hallyu to Frida Kahlo to the history of underwear and evolution of wedding dresses. Like, it's they're just such good exhibitions. And they do this great shop, a beautiful cafe, and I also wanted to give them a shout out because their lates are the best. Mm. They stay late on the last Friday of the month, and they have like DJ sets and cocktails and special talks and performances. And you just then have this stunning museum, sort of, you know, in much kind of like no kids.
Yep.
And it's much more intimate. It's just, I just think it's the best museum in London.
Do you want to know something, Lucy?
Go on.
I've never been. I need to go.
James! You should go. And you should go in one of the lates. You should go in a late before babies come.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know you guys had a field trip there because we had our new book, Hello South Korea. You guys went to the Hallyu exhibition. And it was a day I couldn't do. I think I was on holiday.
Oh, James. And, you must go, honestly. I think you'd love it. Anyway, James, your favourite museum or gallery?
Okay, I found this really tricky because there's so many in London. Like, the British Museum is one of the world's best museums. I mean, there's some problematic discourse around the British Museum, but but in terms of the collections, they're just wonderful. But I've gone for like one of London's smaller museums and a bit off the beaten track, and actually local to us, Lucy, having exiled ourselves to Southeast London. But I'm going to say the lovely Horniman Museum. Yeah, just in a sort of Forest Hill way.
Well, I've not been, so there you go. We've not been to each other. So remind me, tell me about the Horniman Museum.
So it's not exactly the biggest collection, but it's just got a lot of curiosities. There's an anthropological theme to their collection. So lots of like kind of taxidermy, sort of like things from early life. I think it all sort of started from sort of like private collections. And it's a good one for like the nerdily curious, but it's also super, super family friendly. There's lots of like funny looking stuff in there. But the real gem of it, and maybe I'm cheating here with like the definition of a museum, but it's got wonderful gardens that have an amazing view of London from the back of it. It also has these kind of open air, like kind of musical instruments. I've been there with my nieces, for instance, and like playing on some of those. They kind of use the wind of the hill to make natural music through it. So that's really cool. It's just one of London's best picnic spots as well, but a little bit off the beaten track. But Forest Hill is sort of becoming one of South London's cooler spots. There's loads of great pubs around there, bakeries, etc. So definitely worth a shout. And actually London's best Wetherspoons is over the road too, which is in an old cinema.
Look, the whole itinerary sorted.
So for any international listeners, Wetherspoons is a bit of a institution of cheaper pubs in the UK.
Yeah,
are usually all look the same, but the Forest Hill Wetherspoons is in this old Art Deco cinema and it's wonderful. It's got a really cool vibe to it. All right, so we are nearly done. Let's wrap it up with your perfect day in London.
Day activities. So it would be an exploration of my old neck in the woods, which is East London. So we'd begin in Victoria Park, which is called the People's Park because it was laid out in Victorian times purposely for the poor East Enders who lived in cramped conditions. Mm-hmm. And it really does feel like a local park. So maybe we pick up a coffee from the Pavilion Cafe in Victoria, which I've done with producer Julia. And then you'll walk along Bethnal Green Road and down to Brick Lane and perhaps stop there for a famous bagel. Yep. And then I'd skirt around the fringes of Spitalfields where all the sort of beautiful terraced houses are and walk to Columbia Road. And Columbia Road's known for its Sunday flower market, which is really fun if you're there on a Sunday. But I actually think you should go on any other day of the week because Sundays can be very busy when it's the flower market. But I love Columbia Road because it's just lined with independent shops. It's a great place to pick up a souvenir or do any like Christmas shopping. And then again, there's a theme with mine, which is ironic because I'm pregnant and can't drink, but there's a great pub there called the Royal Oak, which is this beautiful old wood paneled pub. So then you can reward your tired legs with a sit down at the round bar there. And it's like a proper old school boozer and have a pint and admire all your purchases and just generally soak up all of that like East End spirit. So that is my that is the perfect day, genuinely.
That is a great day.
I love that itinerary.
I haven't lived in East London for quite a few years now. I used to live in Bethnal Green about 7 or 8 years ago, and it's never changed. It's a wonderful place to walk around.
It never lets you down, that walk. Anyway, James, so your favorite day activity?
Okay, I'm gonna break the rules and say two things because
James,
I can't not. So I'm gonna talk a bit about a weird thing that you can only find in London and Southeast England.
Okay.
So I've never seen this game anywhere else. It's really great, and every time I have some friends coming into London this afternoon, I'm hoping we can find a table to do it. But it's bar billiards. I don't know if you've heard about this, Lucy.
Yes, I have a friend of a friend who is obsessed with bar billiards, and I think he explained it to me and I just couldn't get my head around it.
I'm gonna try. So for those who don't know, I think it's only ever played in Southeast England and mostly in London. It's a sort of raised pool table, so you're kind of like putting the ball down one way, you shoot the ball from one place at all times, and there's like several holes across this pool table that have different scores attached to them. And basically, it's all time-based. And if you pot one of the balls, you score 50, let's say, and then you might pot another one and get 20. And if you pot one, you get to take another turn. If you miss, then it passes over to whoever you're playing with. So you can have like multiple players. You can like kind of, there can be four or five of you at the same time. And basically, it's just really, really frenetic. Like, because it's on a timer, I think it's about sort of 10 minutes or so, the timer.
Yeah.
All of the tables are quite old and antique, so you'll hear it ticking along at the same time when you're playing, and it just becomes quite frantic. It's an amazing pub game. It gets funnier after a few pints, and you can only find them in like kind of some quite old school pubs in London. So I know the Glasshouse Stores, which is in Soho, has one. But the best table, in my experience, is at the Pembury Tavern in Hackney, which is also a really, really great pub, does great pizzas too.
Cool.
But yeah, it's really hard to explain without like kind of being able to like pull it out there, but it's just brilliant. And I don't know, I get a bit bored of pool or snooker after like a game or two, whereas it's a gift that keeps giving. But yeah. my second thing, and I'm sorry for breaking the rules, but I think this is quite an important one post-COVID, is just go to a gig. So I am super, super passionate about London's music scene. I believe it's the best city in the world for gigs and bands, and the industry really needs support to keep going. There's so many people I know who've worked in the music industry and had to like quit it during the COVID era, and so many venues have closed down as well. But I used to put on gigs as a sort of side hustle, I guess, with my friends in the city, and I used to play in bands as well, and it's the best thing I've ever done. Like, loads of my friends, my whole community of friends are from that circle, and there's just a real sort of like, there was a real DIY spirit to some of the smaller gigs and venues that you go to in London. So I would honestly potluck, just look down the listings, take a pick, and you'll probably find something good. There's loads of amazing smaller venues. So the Shacklewell Arms in Dalston, I think, is a really, really world-class one, sometimes gets brilliant bands. Lexington King's Cross is more well-known, but really, really good. And Moth Club in Hackney as well is a great one. But you'll find gigs all over. One of my favourite gigs I played in London was playing a vintage shop called Paper Dress Vintage in Hackney. And that was really, really bizarre, just playing in amongst loads of like kind of rows of clothes, etc. So you'll find all sorts going on all the time. But that scene, it's so integral to London, to my personal history of London, and it just needs people's support right now. So that's my little one. And I think,
good tip, James. Thank you.
I think that's the end of it, isn't it, Lucy? I think that's
I mean, obviously we could talk about London, you know, to the cows come home, but I think we've given a good... there's definite East and South London bias there.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm sorry, West London. I just don't know you as well.
Me too. I feel a bit bad. But at the same time, there's loads. We just know there's loads of great stuff in South and East London. And as well as North and West London as well, obviously.
You know, thinking back to our Paris episode with Lindsay as well, that we recorded really recently, there is so much more to explore on the margins of London. And
totally,
I would just say there's absolutely tons to see in central London. You can go to the British Museum, you can go to the Riverside, etc. But venture out, you know, go to the margins, and you'll find some real, real gems.
And I think that's where also you probably will find the real London, which is the London that Londoners live in and love.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's quite a lot of recommendations you put forward there that I'm quite excited to try.
Same. And the Colonel Table Beer. What a good answer, James.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's my old age talking a little bit, but I just need something lighter these days. Not to say there are plenty of great, stronger beers around London. And highly recommend going out and trying as many as possible. London is
within
very
reason.
Much a great...
Do it sensibly.
Really. Within reason, London's a great beer city these days. So just for a little bit of final indulgence, Lucy, I'm sure if you haven't switched off already, Lucy, I really hope not. So, listener, if you'll allow us one final indulgence, because Lucy won't be doing the podcast for quite a while, so at least a year, and then who knows what the world will look like at that point.
I know. Yeah, so true. Who knows what the situation with the podcast would be.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, like, listener, don't worry. We do have an amazing team at Decare Witness. You'll have heard quite a few guests, like, hosts on the podcast throughout the series, and they will be able to pick up the mantle really, really convincingly, even, dare I say, much better.
Yeah, 100%.
than we can. But Lucy, this is your last one for a while. So I just wanted to ask you, what have been some of your highlights from the past six-ish seasons?
God, that's hard. That's like, I imagine, asking me to choose my favourite child.
I'm not asking you to do that just yet. You've only got one as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so. I've only got one. Well, off the top of my head, I remember vividly, we talked to Lola about Sweden.
Second ever episode.
And so we were very new to it, and it was COVID. This is when we first started the podcast. It was all very homemade. We didn't have wonderful Julia or brilliant Bella then. It was just you and me. And
I'm remembering this now.
Yeah.
I
think we were having some of the cladding removed from our building. I think maybe building works were allowed to happen at this point. And it was late 20 degrees Celsius. And I had to record it in my flat's airing cupboard because that was kind of the most confined sort of podcast friendly space. And Lola was just wonderful, like wonderfully patient with these two newbie interviewers. And I just remember getting hotter and like melting more and more into the chair and probably getting less and less coherent. This sort of sheen appearing across my forehead. So that, she was just great. She was so patient and lovely with us.
She was fantastic. Hello, Lola, if you're listening. But yeah.
Big love to Lola.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I remember watching you, Lucy, and just thinking, you're kind of melting here.
Melting, yeah. I looked like I was melting. I was melting. Another really memorable episode was Libby in Nashville, because we had Libby with Nashville when I was editing Nashville Like a Local. And I'm still desperate to go to Nashville. God knows when that will be. But I just loved like Livy's energy. And she really talked about how sort of the creative side of Nashville and the community in Nashville. And I was editing the book at the time. And it was a very kind of, as an editor, it's very validating.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, good, we've got this right. And I just loved her sort of warmth. And it was really cool to talk about a city that, you know, until I started editing Nashville, I didn't know loads about. I want to give a big shout out to Marty for the San Sebastian episode.
I was going to say Marty as well.
She was just the best. And San Sebastian, oh, I'm still so desperate to go. And, you know, just her talking about all the amazing food and drink. I just, that one for me.
And the history side of it too. Yeah, yes. The kind of like history and culture. The kind
The Basque culture. Her daughter, remember her daughter? I think her daughter's like six, speaking Basque. Just
to these old men in the countryside. Yeah. It's, listener, I would definitely check out that episode if you haven't heard
that
already.
That's a really good one. And then our regulars like Dan Stable, Shafiq.
Yep.
I always look forward to hearing them on the podcast. And actually, I suppose finally, my sort of favourite episodes really have been with the members of the team who, you know, are always, well, they can be, but nervous to come on. And every time they smash out the park, they really do know their stuff. They are experts. And just hearing them talk about passionately about their travels, what they're doing. Big thanks to all the Decare Witness team. And yeah, I think those episodes for me, the team ones, are really special.
Couldn't have put it better, Lucy. I mean, I think one of the reasons why we started this podcast was really to give a bit of a voice to showcase the voices that sit behind our travel guides, whether that's our amazing contributors, the people we speak to when we're building them, and actually the staff who make them themselves. And these staff, like yourself, have become travel experts over time. I know I was totally joking at the start of the episode, but you really do know your onions about the travel world. And it's, you know, every time we get them on, they always have something amazing to say, whether that's like
completely,
you know, Rachel Laidler or Zoe or Bella or...
And the new, and with our new beginners, so Alex, Charlie and Tiana, they all came on.
Yeah.
A few months ago, and they were absolutely brilliant, all a little bit nervous, and they were just fantastic and really knew their stuff. So just sending all my love to the Decare Witness team. I won't go on because I'll get emotional and no one wants to hear that. But James, before we go there, do you have any podcast highlights?
I mean, you've covered quite a lot of them. I I mean, there was that great moment where my laptop died in the middle of the recording the Jamaica episode of Frias. That was horrible. And thinking I did lose all my audio. That was great.
Just what you needed.
Perfect. Especially, and hello to Riaz, but he was also having some technical issues as well. That was quite a tricky one. But yeah, generally, like, just super lovely, warm guests. I remember it quite amazingly for Iceland interviewing Ása.
Yes.
In the back of her car when she was chasing a volcano.
Yes.
Setting off in...
That was exciting.
In Iceland. Yeah. It was like during that kind of COVID time as well, where we were doing nothing. And like, yeah. It's like, you're in a car in the middle of like...
Is a volcano erupting?
It's one of those like purely sort of joyous things of like, oh yeah, we are kind of traveling through this podcast. This is amazing. Even like recording the Japan episode with Zoe earlier in this season. And actually when we talked to Lucy Damon in Tokyo last year, but thinking that we're stretching that far, and Victoria and New Zealand, like the kind of further places that I've always wanted to go to, and I still haven't been to, but I feel like I've almost gone there a little bit through the podcast. And we kind of hope in some ways you feel a little bit like that too, listener, but yeah, hopefully some of that joy kind of comes through. But as you say, I can't really pick between guests because they're all so great.
Totally.
We've been really, really lucky.
We have been. But not only because we have been able to travel vicariously, but they've also been like really patient with us, as you've hit on. We've had various technical issues. Yep. So thank you so much to everyone who's come on for the past 6 seasons.
Yes. Yeah.
We really appreciate all of your time and expertise, and we hope that we'll see you at some point in the future.
Yes, absolutely.
With babes in arms.
With babes in arms, covered in sick. You can tell I'm so excited for the next couple of weeks. Anyway, listener, we'll leave it there. But this is not the end of this season. I'm back next week with one more episode, and I'll be joined by the wonderful Alex there. And Lucy, we're actually joined by an old friend as well. So Nicola Brady is back on the pod.
And her episode for Dublin. Well,
She sort of covered Dublin and Ireland. Now she's zoning in on Ireland. She's giving us a bit of an update. And yeah, very, very excited to see Nicola. She's one of my faves.
Yeah.
Yeah, like big, amazing sort of contributor for like a local Dublin, and has worked with us quite a lot since. And so, yeah, very excited for that one. But Lucy, it's goodbye from you though.
It's goodbye from me. And
I'll see you very soon at least. Where to Go is a podcast from DK Eyewitness. It was produced by Julia Baker, presented by Lucy Richards and James Atkinson, with the help of Bella Talbot. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness, or visit dk.com/eyewitness. And please like and follow the show. And if you have time, leave a review. Your support means so much to us.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.